Welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, Eric Christensen. A few of you have asked how to contact me, to track me down. You can certainly do that through the website, reallifepharmacology.com. Also fairly active on LinkedIn as well, so you can find Eric Christensen, pharmacist, there as well. If you've got a question, if you're looking for a speaker, if you're whatever, the asking about products and different things, those are probably the two best ways to track me down. So with that note, today's podcast, I'm going to cover trazodone. The brand name there would be Desiril. It's not something you hear too often. Usually it's maybe with more experienced providers that have been around the block for quite some time and are used to using the brand name. But I would say most healthcare professionals go by the generic. And I did want to cover a little bit on dosing as far as indication for use. So trazodone can be pretty sedating. And we can use that, obviously, to help with certain conditions like insomnia. So if you see a patient usually at generally lower doses, so maybe in the 25, maybe up to 100 milligram dosing range, and it's specifically dosed at night, most often it's probably being used for the indication of sleep. Now, it is classified as an antidepressant, and it does have antidepressant activity, but typically you have to get up into the higher dosages of 200 milligrams, 300 milligrams in that range to start getting antidepressant effects. And also, when you start getting up to those higher doses, the drug becomes less and less tolerable, which I'll kind of cover the whole list of side effects coming up here. From a mechanistic point of view, the drug does have some serotonin reuptake activity. There is also some histamine blocking activity, some alpha-1 blocking activity as well. So looping in side effects into that mechanism, which I think is a really helpful way of remembering these drugs. If you remember the antihistamine effect, that's likely where your sedation is going to come from. If you remember alpha-1 blocking activity, that can potentially contribute to orthostasis, dizziness, maybe fall risk, things of that nature. There is also some antagonistic effects at certain types of serotonin receptors. You know, what exactly that does and how much of effect that has on the activity. Honestly, I don't know if the medical community knows that really well, and honestly, I can't say I know exactly what that causes or contributes to as far as a symptom or efficacy perspective. So let's focus on those side effects a little bit. Sedation, I mentioned with that mild antihistamine effect, dizziness, fall risk, drop in blood pressure, maybe with that alpha blocking effect. Dry mouth is a common adverse effect, may also come into play with that mild antihistamine effect there. So keep in mind, you know, patients that are on other drugs that are contributing to dry mouth, and or if you see people, patients telling you that they're on a saliva substitute or something like that, it may be indicative that they're having side effects if they are on trazodone. One kind of really unique, rare adverse effect is priapism. I've definitely seen this on pharmacology exams and different exams throughout my career. Extremely, extremely rare situation, but definitely one that is kind of unique to trazodone, and that I have seen come up, so to speak. Now, in general, my focus, I work in geriatrics, which you probably well know from the podcast at this point. Trazodone's probably a little bit safer as far as in use for insomnia in our geriatric patient population, compared to benzodiazepines. Now, I always say that with a caveat. I mean, if you're talking about super high doses of trazodone compared to a really, really baby dose of a benzodiazepine or a Z-drug like Zolpidem, okay, well then maybe trazodone is a little bit more risky. But, you know, just got to take it with a grain of salt, and you may see trazodone used preferentially a little bit prior to Z-drugs in the elderly population. Now, first line for insomnia is always non-drug intervention. So I'm not going to go through those today, but definitely if you've got a patient with insomnia, see what you can do to try to avoid utilizing medications to treat that insomnia, because it's a kind of a perpetuating risk factor for polypharmacy and drug interactions and all sorts of problems. So anything we can do there is a really, really good thing. So let's take a quick break. If you have the means, definitely go support our sponsor, meded101.com/store. We've got free books on pharmacotherapy, Thrill of the Case, two fantastic books on case studies, and there's a link where you can actually get the Audible book for free at meded101.com/store. So certainly go check that out if you're in the market for, you know, pharmacist board certification, NAPLEX, BCPS, things of that nature. We've got plenty of resources there as well. So meded101.com/store. Go check out the resources there. And let's finish up with drug interactions. So first thing when I think about drug interactions is I look at that mechanism of action. So we've got some serotonin reuptake inhibition. So if you think about that, there may be some risk of additive serotonin activity. So if you've got a patient on high-dose SSRIs, maybe TCAs, maybe SNRIs, maybe triptans, drugs that have serotonergic activity, trazodone could potentially increase that risk. Again, serotonin syndrome is extremely rare, but very serious. So definitely something to think about. There is a potentially, you know, mild QTC prolongation effect with trazodone. Again, you're probably only going to look at this if you see other risk factors, you know, on amiodarone, maybe they're on an antipsychotic, maybe they're on levofloxacin, for example, clarithromycin, kind of an older macrolide antibiotic. Again, if patient's just on trazodone and they really don't have any risk factors, you know, maybe no electrolyte imbalances or any issues, you know, the likelihood that there's going to be a problem is extremely, extremely low. So, again, kind of look for that cumulative effect when we're looking at QTC prolongation. I do think about 3A4 inhibition and inducers with trazodone. 3A4 inhibitors can raise concentrations. So, in the event somebody was put on something that inhibits CYP3A4, all of a sudden concentrations are raised of the trazodone. You know, maybe a patient's more sedated now all of a sudden due to that drug interaction. So think about that a little bit. Other sedating drugs kind of can pile on and cause adverse effects that way. So I think of, you know, anticholinergics, Z drugs, benzodiazepines, maybe opioids, lots of drugs that can have sedative type effects. And if we add on trazodone or add on one of those other sedating drugs to trazodone, we may get this additive effect of sedation. I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks for listening. Leave us a rating, review, wherever you're listening. Incredibly appreciative to all those of you who have. If you're looking to contact me, I mentioned LinkedIn at the start there. It's a good way to do that, as well as reallifepharmacology.com. Hit the contact button and that email goes directly to me. If you are looking for study material, things of that nature, meded101.com/store. Also, snag that free giveaway, reallifepharmacology.com. I've got a 31-page PDF simply for following the podcast and getting updates as to when we've got a new one out. So go ahead and snag that, and I think it's definitely worth your while. if you're preparing for any type of exam. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.